Damn right. I got Buddy Guy as my guest right now. How are you, Buddy?
Well, as an old man, I'm hanging on, you know. It's catching up with me, but I'm still having fun, you know, trying to make smiles on people's face by hopefully playing a good enough music for somebody to enjoy. You know, and that's what it's all about.
Oh, Buddy, you are so humble. You are one of the most influential musicians, much less in the genre of blues. But you have inspired so many guitarists from back when you started, even now through today. So thank you for showing everybody that creativity doesn't just go away. At age 90, you keep on going.
Well, I don't forget, I have to get it from other people too now. I didn't learn nothing from the book, you know. I tried to learn how to play music before I left Louisiana almost 70 years ago next year. And I went to the music teacher, and I said, I want to learn how to play, to read music, and play the guitar more. And I had a 7-8 record by Muddy Waters. I had it behind my back, and the teacher said, yeah, I can teach you. Say, I got book one. And when he came out with the book one, I came out with the 7-8 of Muddy Waters' Rolling Stone. I said, I think I got book one. And he looked at me and put it on the turntable. He said, well, I can't teach you that. I said, well, I can't take your class. And you ain't going to believe it. I was here in Chicago, and my brother was still living. He called me and said, Mr. Johnson, the music teacher, is pretty ill. And he told me if I could contact Buddy, tell him I would like to talk to him. And I flew back down and went to the hospital. His eyes was closed, and I said, Mr. Johnson, he said, I think that's Buddy. And I said, I heard you wanted to say something to me. He said, yeah, I just want to let you know I'm glad you didn't take my class.
That's impressive that he recognizes that you have something special. Tell me the first time you ever picked up a guitar and it felt magic to you.
Well, to be honest with you, it didn't feel magic. The first time I had a guitar, I was born in Letchworth, Louisiana. That's out there on the plantation. And the guy, my parents and all the people go get this guitar player every Christmas, and they go from house to house and drank the gallon of wine at everybody's house, and they would go to sleep, and I would pick that old acoustic guitar up and see could I play with him. He was playing Lionel Johnson stuff and all the older stuff. I had never heard of an electric guitar back then. So I would pick it up and try to figure out what he had did. And one day my daddy was sawing logs. There wasn't no power saws, and then it was called Howard Kang made a record called Crossbow Saw. You had to pull, I had to pull. And he gave that guy $2 for a guitar that had two strings on it. And that was my start right there.
Wow. Well, you've come a long way from a $2 guitar with two strings. Now on Buddy Guy 90, July 26th, we are ready to welcome you back to the Riverside Theater. You were here a couple years ago at the Riverside Theater. And I love that any Buddy Guy show is memorable. Because, Buddy, I worked in Chicago radio in the 1990s at WXRT. So you know I spent a lot of time at Legends. And I saw you. You know, everybody does residencies now in Las Vegas. And I think you're one of the first artists to do a residency and at your very own blues club at Legends. And one of my favorite memories is right in the middle of January, you get your guitar and you take it outside and play for people in the street all around the block and then come back into the club.
Well, you know, you have to try to you know, people, it's funny, you know, I don't know if, I learned that from a great guitar player in Louisiana named Guitar Slim. He made a big record called Things I Used to Do. And I saw him with a 100-foot cord, and now they got the wireless, you know, remote. You don't have that long wire. And I learned that from him. I said, sometimes you might want to do something stupid, or maybe it's not stupid, just let people know that you into them. And sometimes I walk out there and let people hit my guitar and they don't believe it, especially young people. And when they do that, they just jump up and start screaming. That was me. I heard myself play his guitar. So anything to make people happy, because you know the whole world, I hate to turn my TV on because it looks like everybody in the world, somebody's angry, half of them don't even know what they're angry about. But music brings smiles on people's face that wasn't smiling until you played the right note or said the right word. That's what makes me sleep better at night.
Aw, that is truly good vibrations that you are continuing to share. And a belated congratulations on your 9th Grammy victory and a new statuette.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I love the title, It sounds like you aren't finished yet. You're still swinging. What's the title of your album? Ain't Done with the Blues. So,
well, you know, to treat the blues now on your radio like a stepchild. You know, you big. At my age, there wasn't no big FM stations. It was all AM stations. And the disc jockey could play what he want back then. He didn't have a program director that would give him one big superstar record, and you play that six times a day, and you never hear the late Muddy Waters, B.B. King. I could go on and on, Howlin' Wolf, one of these great blues players who did it all very well when their records was being heard on the big AM station at least once or twice a week. So, you know, that kind of hurts because the young people don't know who the blues player is until now. You can, when we play the outdoor theaters, you can bring a 9-10-year-old kid in there. And I have it all the time coming to me and say, I don't know who you was, but I read why Eric Clapton say you were pretty good. And then they look at me and say, he was right. You are pretty good.
You're still impressing people. Well, buddy, what can we expect at your show on July 26th at the Riverside? Are you going to be showcasing some of those influences? Are you going to be showcasing some of your music?
Well, I'm from Louisiana. Do you know what a gumbo is?
Yeah. Tasty.
You know, they put everything in it. That was the thing the white man was throwing away back in the days. And the black people made a gumbo. Now it's the most expensive soup you can get. So I play my music called the gumbo. You know, you're going to get some of everything a buddy got that I can afford to give you. But I never will forget it. Whenever I come, I'm going to never say, I'm not going to give you a taste of Muddy Water or lick of B.B. King and some of those people who created the music that led me to talking to you today. If it wasn't for them, I don't know if I'd be talking to you because I learned everything from them.
We love you here in Milwaukee. You're just down the road. When I say Milwaukee, do you have any good memories here?
Oh, yeah. I done played quite a few places. I never will forget once I was playing there, it started storming, and everybody was going away, and there was a couple out there with an umbrella. And I was on the stage, and they didn't move, and it started lightning. I said, well, if you don't stand in this kind of weather, I'm going to plug my guitar and play in this stormy weather. So I went on and played 2-3 songs for them.
I wonder if that was Summerfest.
That's it. That's what it was.
That's one hearty couple who love the blues. Is that magic to you? If you can just connect with somebody, is that where the magic of a live performance comes?
Well, you know, I play by watching you. You know, when we start playing outdoors before the sun go down, and even when you play at night, if they light up that front 4 or 5 rows, I like to look in your face. If you got a frown on your face, something tell me, buddy guy, you ain't played the right note yet. Just move along, play another note, play another song, sing another lyric. And sooner or later, I see that frown leave your face and a smile come on your face. I say, I figured it out. I know what I need to do. I need to bend this string a little deeper.
What a beautiful job you have. Let's talk about you and your guitar playing.
You know, I don't never listen to Buddy Guy. I can't learn nothing on Buddy Guy. That's something I always know. I like to go out and I go to my club every night and I listen to other guitar players, and that's where I get ideas from. So if I'm sitting here in the room and fooling my guitar, I might accidentally run on something. But if I hear somebody else play something, I go and say, let me see, can I find that? And looking for that, I found something else sound good as that or might be better. So that's the way I go. I've been doing that ever since I fell in love with playing the guitar. I like to listen to other people, not Buddy Guy.
You are a lifelong learner. That is super. And as much as you are connected with the audience and giving smiles, what's a song that you play live where you feel like you truly shine, where we get to experience you?
Muddy Waters record, I'm a Hoochie Coochie Man. I get more smiles out of that than I do anything else. And sometime they got another one about I love a woman and she's big and fat. And they start laughing. I say, what the hell wrong with that? And then I get a standing ovation, you know.
You're getting one right now. Buddy, before I let you go, we've been talking music. I do want to ask you a movie question. Oh, my gosh. As much as I enjoyed the movie Sinners and the themes it explored and all sorts of things about it, I loved seeing you in the film. That truly was the high point for me. It was such a surprise. It was such a delight. I loved that you were part of Sinners. How did that experience come to you? How did that come about?
Well, they brought it to me. I didn't know that. I ain't going to lie to you and tell you I was ready for that. If they came to me and asked me, would I do that movie? And I said to myself, I would do anything to hopefully keep the blues alive. And there's not many old blues players left. If you listen to me, that was Willie Nelson, Bobby Rush, and Buddy Guy. And Buddy Guy will be 90 years old in 2 months. Bobby Rush is 2 years older than me. That'd make him 92. And I think Willie Nelson is 94 or something like that. So we talk about this last four old blues players trying to keep the blues alive. And I hope I'm asking a question. Because, you know, if you look at people, the whole world, if you look at some people, it seems like everybody's mad and don't know what they're mad about. Angry, I should say. But if you play the right note in music, that anger would leave for them. At least when you don't hurt them with that good note and that smile on the face, I say, if you was angry, I made you forget it for that moment.
Buddy Guy, keep spreading the good news of smiles and keeping the blues alive with your influences and now with the influence that you are bringing to people. Because as much as it's called the blues, you see it yourself that it really gives joy.
Well, thank you so much, and we need people like you to help me keep it alive.
It is my pleasure. Thank you so much, buddy. We look forward to seeing you July 26th back here in Milwaukee at the Riverside Theater. Take good care.
And make sure you come backstage and I'll give you a shot of my cognac.
Oh, it's a deal. That's a week after my birthday. I will be there.
All right.